Sometimes we forget, don't we? Sometimes in the difficult times, we forget that God's still there. It seems like he's disappeared, he's left us. What does Deuteronomy 31:6 say? Never will I leave you nor forsake you. Never will I leave you nor forsake you. Remember that. What a faithful God have I. And it is with that mindset that we have a faithful, living, loving God, a God who, even when he seems as though he's disappeared, is still there. It's with that mindset of adoration for the eternal God, the wellspring of creation, that we begin to look at chapter 3. Like all good narratives, Habakkuk ends his book on a positive note. So let's look down at chapter 3 together. Verse 2. I have heard all about you, Lord. I am filled with awe by your amazing work. In this time of our deep need, help us again as you did in years gone by. Verse 3, describing the Lord. His brilliant splendor fills the heavens and the earth is filled with his praise. Verse 4, his coming is as brilliant as the sunrise. Rays of light flash from his hands, where his awesome power is hidden. Wonderful words. And it can be summed up with this simple phrase. Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. If there's any challenge from today, perhaps it's this. When was the last time you were in awe of God? Or where? Where do you get awe in God? For me, it's probably nature. I'd like to say taking a hike to a really tall hill, probably driving to a car park. But then getting out of the car and looking at the wonder and the beauty of nature, or perhaps it's in my personal private prayer times, where every now and again I feel the tangible presence of God. And it's as though everything else in my life is just a little boring in comparison to the presence of the true and living God. Lord, I stand in awe of your deeds. Habakkuk then goes on to talk about the Exodus, when our Lord saved his people from 400 years of slavery. For 400 years, the people were oppressed. 400 years, how many generations is that? How many generations went by thinking, oh, God has forgotten us? He doesn't remember us. Who's got Netflix? Put your hands up. Can't just be me, come on. If you've got Netflix, there's a film on at the moment, Exodus, Gods and Kings, starring the wonderful Christian Bale. And the film starts, it's all about the narrative of Exodus, the film starts with these words on the screen. For 400 years, the people were in slavery. But God had not forgotten his people. Yes? Give it a watch or buy the DVD. I'm not sure it's available on VHS anymore, though. God had not forgotten his people, and that's why Habakkuk finishes by recounting the Exodus, because he knows there's a bit of judgment coming, a bit of punishment upon his people, but he knows that his God is the God who saves. And so he thinks back to Exodus. He thinks back to the plagues in Egypt. How many plagues were there? Did someone say 12? No, 10 plagues. Did you know each of the plagues of Egypt correspond and relate symbolically to an Egyptian false god? Each of those plagues, those miracles, was our God saying, oh, by the way, I'm greater, I'm stronger, I'm higher than any other god. I don't want to list all 10, I'll be here forever. But just one as an example. The Egyptian false god Ra, apparently the god who brings the sun. And what was the corresponding plague? That the true and living God would block out the sun for 3 days to show that he is greater, stronger, and higher than any other god. 3 days. Not two, not four, three. Why? Of course, it's a Christophany. It's pointing towards the 3 days that our Lord would spend in the tomb before his resurrection. Next week, we're thinking about, there's a big fish in the story. It's not Captain Cook. We're thinking about Jonah. And how many days was Jonah in the belly of the whale? Three. And what does Jesus say about Jonah? He says, oh, this wicked generation asks for a sign, but the only sign I shall give them is the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth for 3 days. The point herein is this. The Old Testament, it all points to this, doesn't it? It all points to the cross. It all points to Jesus. Why? Because our God is a God who saves. And at the very beginning of his creation, salvation was on his mind and heart. And throughout the Old Testament, throughout Habakkuk, throughout the Exodus, through Jonah, through all of the minor prophets, salvation belongs to our God. Salvation was on his heart. It is all pointing to Jesus. And to be honest, that is what I stand in awe of. As I read the Old Testament, as I hear Isaiah in chapter, was it 7? Speak that passage that we have every Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He shall be called the Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. 700 years before it actually happens, the Old Testament is looking to the cross. 700 years. Sometimes I struggle to plan 7 days in advance. 700 years. And so as we begin to close, I think we join Habakkuk. We join Habakkuk remembering that our God is a God who saves. And Habakkuk reiterates the notion of persecution, the notion of judgment, but ultimately how God brought his people out of suffering. Ultimately how God, like a warrior, went out and fought for his people. God fights for us, you know. We can't see it all the time because it's spiritual, not physical, but God fights for us. Because we're his beloved children, you know. In him, I say, you are children of the Most High God. And so today, if it feels, on one hand, like you're saying, ugh, what sorrow awaits. Or if on the other hand, you're like, yes, the righteous shall live by faithfulness to God. Wherever you are, or everywhere in between, remember that God is by your side. Deuteronomy 31:6, never will I leave you nor forsake you. So let's finish with the closing words of Habakkuk that remind us that regardless of life's circumstances, whether we are in the mountaintop or down in the valley, that our God is a God of love. That our God is a God who has a strong embrace of grace on our lives. And ultimately, that our God is a God who saves. Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 to 19, we'll close with these words. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, and there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. For the Lord God is my strength.